Welcome to Hard Reboot. I'm Alan.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Matt. And we're back with another one of our ongoings.
Yeah.
Woo! We are diving back into the world of superheroes.
It's ongoing general. Season once again.
Just as an idea, superheroes. What are they about? Yeah. What are they up to?
Who or what are they?
But specifically, we're doing the public domain superheroes that we have put in a group called the Conclave.
Well, we're going to be talking about the League of Friends Who Do Justice Together with Friendship and Love.
That's not the name. That's even more not the name. That's like the worst version of the name with all those extra words at the end.
Yeah, that was a lot again.
It's a lot. It's a complete sentence. You can't do that.
I mean, it just rolls off the tongue.
Does it? Whose tongue?
It really doesn't.
I mean, it rolls off mine.
Barely. You had to read it. I watched you read it.
And I think it only rolls off your tongue because you said it so goddamn much
so
the last
many
2 years.
Yep. Hey, listener, we did homework. We actually listened to the old episodes, including Moon Girl. I did, and Jake did at least.
Yeah. Matt, did you ever
I didn't listen to Moon Girl, no. I still have no idea what's going on there.
It's good. It's a pretty good one. You're a little catchy, but other than that.
Yeah, I live in fear of that one because my audio is so bad and it will hurt me on a deep personal level.
I understand. I can't listen to any old episodes of The Morphin Grid before I learn how to noise cancel because I can just hear a in the background the whole time. It drives me banooners. But anyway, Alan, this is you're spearheading this particular challenge. So what are we doing this year?
Well, let's give a little bit of context. So a little bit of previously on Conclave. We did a first arc of basically a hero called Yankee Eagle, Breaking Bad. There was a paradox-free universe alteration device. He won. He changed the universe, but then our heroes kind of had to figure out that something was different and try to put it right.
No. He won, full stop.
Yeah, and the only one who knows is Nature Boy.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
We did leave in that stuff where the other heroes are able to, like, pick at the frayed edges of reality and kind of uncover previous things that the Crucible had been used for.
Yeah. It was called the Crucible. Right. Good call. We did take that.
You did that. It's kind of like we did leave it as the origin of Aladdin's lamp, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
What a good idea, all of us.
So we're actually going to put that to the side, and we're going to start talking about the solo books for the Conclave and for our roster of Conclave. Basically, what is an arc going to look like there, and, you know, what do we need to do to move forward with those stories?
Sweet. Who do you want to start with?
I'm just going to go down the list. So let's start with Moon Girl. As we've already established in the video game episode, she has a lot of rogues.
Yeah, she has a full-on gallery that I forgot about entirely.
Yep. So we have a lot to choose from. Part of me kind of wants to do Satana, simply because introducing her arch-villain first? Or should we wait on her?
I feel like she's got to be there because she's the mayor of Twilight. Was it Twilight City or Dusk City?
Dusk City.
Dusk City. Because so like Satana is the mayor of that, so she's gonna be there. But I feel like your first story you shouldn't put all your eggs in that basket, right? Like you don't want to be like, here's my arch nemesis in the first one, because like where do you go, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to do Maybelline because that ends with her killing Maybelline, and I feel like that would be a really good crisis for her.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it just like kind of follows the video game and we kind of skip over Moon Girl because we did do a whole episode on her.
That's
and
fair.
I remember it being very good and did a whole lot of stuff, so.
Yeah, there's a lot that we figured out, right? Because that was our first video game one, so we were kind of going buck wild with that. But I feel like the story of the video game, you can just kind of translate into the story of the comic and not really need to go any deeper into it.
So,
right, so the next one would be Phantom Sphinx. And Phantom Sphinx doesn't really have a whole lot already established. He was only in four books, Pocket Comics 1-4. And what I've found on him is not abundant with villains. So we can kind of do what we want with Phantom Sphinx.
I mean, we can do what we want with all of them. That's the whole point of the show, fair. Alan, is that we reboot them. We don't need to adhere to any continuity if we don't want to, which I feel like for a lot of these, we just straight up threw it out the window.
True.
Yeah.
So what do y'all see for Phantom Sphinx? What are some thoughts?
He's our Thor, right?
Yes.
Kind of, yeah. More or less our Thor analog.
Yeah.
Okay, so I see two different options. We have Zero Ghost Detective that we can use for our kind of Constantine side, like our mystical side.
Yeah, the Zero Ghost Detective book is very much a like a noir mystery, but about spookums and haints.
Yeah. So I think he can play in that space, but he could also lean very heavily into the Thor kind of style, and he just deals with Set all the time. We give him an Egyptian god that's his villain, and they just go back and forth.
Well, let's bore down into this real quick then. So if he's the Thor, but he's not like the Thor in the sense that like he is part of, because it's not like he's Horus, you know. It's not right. Like Phantom Sphinx is Horus. He's just Phantom Sphinx. So like he would be sort of like a one step below gods, not demigods, because the last demigod is on our list already, and that's a whole separate thing. So would it be like the Egyptian gods roles in the universe that we have created? Like, are they still around? Are they still like just doing stuff? Because I know the Roman gods are all still around, so it kind of makes sense that that other pantheons could be too.
I just feel like maybe the Egyptian gods are a little more secretive.
That makes sense.
Like, they're a little bit more hidden from, you know, they're less likely to actually interfere with the mortal realm. So maybe in order to communicate with them, he has to go to a place of power.
That's fair.
What, I mean, why does he need to communicate with them, though? He's not, like, beholden to them or anything.
True.
He's not, like, their envoy. He's not Egyptian nature boy. Like, he's just Phantom Sphinx. So he could be like always dealing with actual Set, the god, who's just always, you know,
yeah,
trying to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, fighting like Sobek, who's a big alligator man, or a crocodile mm-hmm. man, I guess.
And I like that. Let's play with Sobek a little bit. Okay. What is Sobek the god of?
Alligators or crocodiles. Which one is it? I don't know if it's, I think it's crocodiles.
I think it's crocs, but that's also, I'm not 100% sure. Because
alligators live in Florida, and I don't think they, I don't think they're the same.
Yeah, it's crocodiles, but also kind of the Nile.
Yeah, he's just like an Aries type. Like, he's like a god of roughhousing and whatnot, but he's about, because like the Egyptian purviews are like a lot weirder than like the straightforward Greek purviews, where it's like this one is about this, this one is about this.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I'm an animal, but I'm also kind of about like life and death and the journey of that. And you know, I'm a cat, but also I don't actually remember what Bast's whole deal is, other than that she's a cat.
Did you have the book Egyptology?
No.
Nope.
Do y'all remember those books, like Egyptology, Wizardology, Dragonology? There was one other. I can't remember what they are.
Picture books? Because they're kind of familiar.
They're like the big, like they're huge and they had really intricate covers.
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't think I ever had one, but I know what you're talking about.
I had Dragonology.
I'm not surprised.
That's very you.
I'm shocked. I'm aghast that you had a dragon book. Okay,
so what havoc is Sobek wreaking on the world?
Okay, so I just had a thought that it's not necessarily about Sobek, because I don't know if we need to figure out, like, the first arc of each, like, book so much as, like, what each book is, like, about in, like, kind of a general sense. Because, like, if we try to figure out
that more.
If we try to figure out what the first arc of each is, we're going to be here for, like, 7 hours.
7 hours for seven people?
Yeah, exactly. So I think his is about what – okay, what about this? What about – let me float this about to you. Because we don't know – I listened to this 2 days ago, and I do not remember. His dad put a spell on him, and he fell into a trance for, like, 3,000 years, right? Or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
So he just, like, has magic powers because of, like, whatever. What if when he wakes up, all of the Egyptian gods are gone? They're not gone. They've just been turned into humans. And so they're kind of playing around on the mortal realm. Either because, like, hey, now we're free of the, you know, the laws that bind gods to not just completely wreck whatever they want down here. But also, like, we still are more powerful than your average human because I'm a crocodile man inside a human body. You know? What about that? How's that feel?
I like that.
That's interesting.
What if also he has to convince them maybe to not, like, to go back? Like, things are changing and like, the quote-unquote natural order is starting to get out of whack because they're not there?
Okay, so it's about finding them and then convincing them to go back to being gods.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be interesting because he's going to have to fight some of them, sure. Because it's a comic book. You got to do fights in a comic book.
You got to have the punchy punchies.
Especially in a superhero comic book. Like, you got to do fights. But, like, I like the idea that he's like, all right, Bast is around here somewhere. So he finds this lady and she's just very hot. And she's like, I'm Bast and sometimes I'm a cat. Whatever. She's from the movie Cats. And she's just weirdly horny the whole time. And he's like, all right, well, you need to go back to being the, you know, Bast, the god. And she's like, I don't think so. So then they have to fight. And then, I don't know, does he have, like, a thing that, like, reawakens them as gods, maybe, that he just needs to, like, get them to do? Like if there's, like, a necklace he needs to put on them. And, like, if they're willing, they just put it on. And if not, he's got, like,
I was about to say, probably an ankh of some kind.
That's got, like, a specific meaning, though, doesn't it? Like, that's, like, means, like, eternal life or something.
Which, I mean,
or rebirth. It might mean rebirth. So I guess it could make sense then.
Let me double check it.
While you're double checking.
As a symbol of life. So I think it could make sense to give it to them as a representative of returning to an old life.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Matt?
So I did some looking over on the website that we got most of these characters from. All of these characters from.
I couldn't even tell you what that website is. It's been so long. Yeah,
I had to Google Phantom Sphinx.
Fandom.com.
That's the one.
Pretty easy, I guess.
So I went to Phantom Sphinx, and there was a thing that was very handy called Egyptian characters. Many of them are very bad.
I can't imagine.
Oh, one's called Black Pharaoh.
Okay, bet that's probably about the color and not racist at all.
Nope, he's a white dude.
Well, okay, I mean, that could go either way then, right?
I'm sure it's fine.
yeah, it's probably whatever.
So there's a couple things that are very interesting. Is there's the Black Pharaoh is evil, and his rival is this guy the named Ibis.
Bibis?
Ibis.
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 They were both from the 12th dynasty in Egypt. Sure. And just slept for 4,000 years because magic or some shit.
So they went to bed before Phantom Sphinx did.
Yes. There's also a guy named Scarab, whose name is Peter Ward. He's an Egyptologist who discovers he's the reincarnation of Ra.
Sure. Ibis is a bird. I knew the word before. I've heard the word. Yeah. It's a bird. That's what Thoth is. Thoth is he's an Ibis-headed god.
Okay.
He's a god of wisdom and writing shit down.
He was given a magic scarab ring by the cat goddess Bast. So we have like a little supporting cast of characters we can incorporate here if we want to.
Okay, yeah, I like that. What if like Black Pharaoh?
Black Pharaoh bad.
Well, yeah, I mean he's a bad guy clearly. Maybe
Ibis also fought Adolf Hitler.
I mean, like everyone the character fought did, or like Hitler.
Hitler was
besides
attacked by birds.
The Black Pharaoh, Ibis fought Attila the Hun, Adolf Hitler, Loki, a villainous Catman, Dr. Hext, Dr. Hookah, the Flying Dutchman, Gog and Magog, Guardians of the Tomb, Half-Man, Horrible Hand, John Oberon the Hydra, and many more.
I'm going to tell you right now, I love it.
That's all good. There's also a character called Kalkor, who is basically Isis's, like, agent, specifically to fight someone named the Queen of Evil.
Here's the bad part about living in 2019. You said ISIS's agent, and I immediately thought of the terrorist organization and not the goddess.
The goddess.
No, yeah. The goddess Isis.
Okay.
Has an agent named Kalkor.
So maybe, what if like Black Phantom, not Black Phantom, that's nothing, Black Pharaoh, what if he did some sort of ritual or whatever that like basically descended the gods, like that like cast them back to Earth.
Yeah.
And so now he's trying to either find them to kill them, because if he kills them while they're mortal, they die for real, because that would be good stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they die for real in real life.
Or to like get their power from them now that they're like weakened and human. And so then we got like Ibis and we got Phantom Sphinx. Maybe Ibis. Hold on. Who was the agent of Isis? The goddess Isis?
That was Kalkor.
Kalkor. Maybe he comes to Phantom Sphinx and is like, hey, you got to find these gods before Black Pharaoh does, or else it's going to be real bad up in here. And that's like kind of the beginning of the, like the impetus of the book is like, hey, my boss is missing. I need you to go find him. I'll find all of the gods.
Well, maybe Kalkor is the one that wakes up Phantom Sphinx. No, because Phantom Sphinx is already awake because he's already in the team book.
He's already in the team book. Yeah, because the team book has got to be for like Conclave Volume 1 comes before
all of everything this, because all of this is set in the new reality where Yankee Eagle is a good guy, which actually I think lets us segue we're skipping a little bit, but that's fine, into Liberty. I think her book is going to be the one kind of most tied in to the first arc.
See, I don't know if it I think the one that should be most tied in should be Conclave. Like the team book the one that should be like tied into that. The other ones can just be like, you know, regular things. Well, so, like, you know, no matter what the Avengers are doing, Tony Stark still has his own stuff going on in his book, you know?
Well, the reason I say that is because we've already established that Liberty works with Yankee Eagle sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. And so I think it would be interesting in her books when Yankee Eagle comes in, we talked about them being able to pick at reality that, you know, maybe she starts to get flashes or like she starts to read things into what he's doing and understands that maybe he's not so good of a guy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's not what the story's about, though. Like, that's not what her book is about. That's kind of a thing that's going to happen in all of their books, right? Because they're all able to pick at the edges now that they have been, like, exposed adjacent, right? That's kind of how we justified it, is that they were, like, nearby enough that they were awash with Crucible energy. Because, Nature Boy is the only one who knows, so he's the only one who needs to, like, actively think about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everybody else is just going to happen over the course of their books.
Okay, so what is Liberty's deal? Like she's our Iron Man.
She's the character find of 2018.
Right. She was very good.
I guess of 2017, rather. She
wears the Statue of Liberty like a mech suit.
She can. It's not exclusively what she does. She has like a suit of armor that's like Liberty and America based that she maybe got from the Statue of Liberty in a dream, the idea for it. It's unclear to her and us. And sometimes, yeah, she does hop in the actual Statue of Liberty and, you know, fight Kaiju.
And Ghostbusters 2, that thing, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all very, very good. Okay, so who's her villain? Like, what's her deal? What's she doing?
We've decided this is in, like, an alternate 1950s-ish, right?
Okay.
Like,
it's actually, let's talk about that for a second, because I figured out how to kind of make that work.
Well, we did talk about it in Moon Girl, that it is like, Art
1950X.
Deco. Yeah, it's 1950X, but it's, like, Art Deco whenever. So yeah, can be a little loose with it.
But because of the Crucible and how many times that's been used, like, someone could have just been like, okay, so 2048 sucks. 1950s is where it's at, but I really like having a cell phone and Google.
I do love Favor, which is apparently only in Texas. And I don't know how, I mean, I guess everybody else is like DoorDash or Uber Eats or whatever, but Favor is the local one that, like, I don't know if I could live without.
You can have everything delivered. Yeah. So someone previously was just like, this is now the forever style. 1950s Art Deco, everything.
Okay.
But modern technology.
I really like that. Cause, like, we determined that there were, like, 777 wishes made, and we have, there were 768 or whatever. And there's, like, 9 left after, Yankee Eagles. So, like, who knows the weird, because some of it can be so minor, like, just so petty and minor, but some of it can be, like, so world-altering that, like, it turns out it's actually the year 3000, but it just looks like the 1950s.
Yeah.
Because that's what, you know, someone wanted. That's cool.
And the nice thing is, we don't have to really worry about it. Like, eventually we can just be like, oh, hey, as TNT Todd discovered that it's actually the year 4,212.
Right. It's like there's but like that whole theory matter. About how, like, we're actually in the year 1700 because when they switched over the Gregorian calendar, the Pope was like, I want to rule the year 1000. And they're like, well, it's 700. He's like, not anymore. Now it's 1000. And so we just lost 300 years on because of that.
There's also that theory that some people have that, you know, time being a flat circle, that the Roman Empire just happened 3 times. Like, that time looped 3 times in a row.
I haven't heard of that. I'm going to have to do a Google afterwards.
I don't remember where I heard it, but it might have broken my brain a little bit.
Well, I'm excited to check it out.
So I kind of see Liberty as almost a Spider-Man in that most of her stories are in the city. Like, the city is her playground, and a lot of that is because, you know, if she needs to fight a kaiju, she needs to be able to get to the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
But
I always ask which city, but it's New York, the Statue of Liberty.
I almost see it as she is a quote-unquote street-level hero. Like, she deals with a lot of, like, criminals, and her big thing is freedom.
Yeah, so I like that, too, because like, she's street level in the sense that, like, she fights, you know, I don't know.
She'll, like, stop a bank robbery.
She'll stop a bank robbery, but she also, like, her villains are more, like, grounded and less, like, we need to get the whole team together to, like, she's not, like, looking for gods, you know? Like, she's mostly fighting, like, the mafia and you know, whomever.
And when things get rough, she calls in Yankee Eagle. Or when things get rough with Yankee Eagle, he calls in Liberty.
Yeah, and I also like the idea that if she's, like, very city-based, that, like, maybe her technology is, like, weirdly integrated into the city to where she can, like, turn off street lamps or, like, you know, use, like...
She can change street lights.
Yeah, and, like, do all that. Well, were there street lights in the 50s? I mean, it doesn't matter. There can be, you know, it can be whatever now that we've decided this, that the world is fluid. But yeah, or, like, you know, she just has, like, this network of, like, hidden tunnels because, like, the city is built into her power set in a weird way.
Did we decide that she was, like, a New York kid?
Oh, yeah, she's, like, super duper from Brooklyn.
We said she's from Brooklyn.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so there was a Batman story. It was the novelization of No Man's Land. And Batman at one point just goes, like, oh, yeah, BT-dubs, no big deal, really. I just built, like, 30 other bat caves across Gotham City.
Yeah.
Because one time Bane snapped my back and I didn't want to be caught unprepared anymore.
Right. So
don't even worry about it. I just did that. I'm kind of picturing that, like, she can go up to just, like, a weird out-of-place door in a wall that says, like, City Electric Grid or something, and just open it, and there's a suit of armor behind it.
Yeah, or she, like, you know, she goes on to, like, the third payphone of five and, like, types in a number, and then the fifth payphone, or, you know, and then that payphone just, like, opens up, and it's like, well, here's, you know, some gadgets if you need them.
Yeah, I love all of this. Yeah,
like, the windows changed where it looks like it's empty, but it, like, it flips around so there are weapons on it now so she can just look around and get what she needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, there's just little, like recharge spots built in, like, weird places. Because we don't know what her power, her tech is, like, based on or powered by. I assume it's some experimental Liberty juice, but, like...
Yep. Freedom power.
Yeah, it runs on Freetonium.
Freetonium.
This shit runs on freedom.
Okay.
If there's less freedom in the city, she's weaker.
I mean, that's metaphorically, that's... yes, we can make that happen. I love Liberty. She's wonderful.
Okay, I have a quick question. Can we take a little bit more on her? Is I have an idea for kind of her role that she can kind of fill outside of her solo book.
Okay. And
what if she is basically the New York City artillery? So, like, any other hero that's just like, well, I stumbled onto the island, onto Manhattan Island, and there's just too many of them. Hey, Liberty. And then just, you know, she's there kicking ass for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I feel like she is absolutely like the biggest team player.
And well, that includes, I think, the police. Like, she works with the police all the time.
Yeah.
She's like Spider-Man, where I don't know if the police are happy to have her.
But they never turn the help down.
But they never turn the help down.
Yeah, I dig that. I dig that a lot. She's very good.
Yeah. All right, who's next?
The Flame.
She inherited this title from some dude, right?
Yep, some dude who was killed by the Octopus, who is a person with three arms and a mirror-powered death ray.
Hold on, what?
Hey,
so the original octopus. Flame. So the original Flame was killed, and I'm not. I had looked this up previously, so I'm not reading it. I swear to God,
because I don't remember us talking about this.
No,
the original Flame was grievously wounded by a villain called the Octopus.
Okay,
who has three arms and a mirror-powered death ray.
So he has
five total appendages.
So he's a pentapus. The Octopus
shot the Flame and nearly killed them, but didn't, although that could change here, and then he bequeathed his powers
to our new Flame.
Yes.
I
Linda Dale is her name.
Well, there's so many. Like, weren't like half of them last named Dale? I feel like...
Yes, like half of them, their last name is Dale.
Hey, pulp superheroes, what's your hard on with Dale?
Do better. Okay, so one. It doesn't
roll off the tongue great, Dale.
I mean, I disagree there. I think it is like a good solid word. It's just weird that they're like, everyone's a Dale. You're a Dale. You're a Dale. Here a Dale. There a Dale. Everywhere a Dale. Dale.
So one, I want Old Flame to be alive. I really want Old Flame to be alive and just like, because that gives a little bit of that tension and drama where he's like now forced into the mentor role and sometimes and he might not want to be.
Yeah, yeah. And it also comes with a built-in arch nemesis, so we don't have to worry about like introducing them in in like any sort of. Because, like, how do you introduce an arch nemesis? Like, who do you decide is, like, the most bad one, right? Like, it's easy as if you have, like, here's six other bad guys first, and this one's even badder, and they're all afraid of it. Like, that's easy to do, but, like, you gotta work up to that. But if you just have, like, oh, that's the guy that almost killed your new mentor that, you know, you have the powers from, like, yeah, that's, like, your bad guy. So I like that.
And it could be, I think we had discussed a little bit that, you know, she's still relatively new to the powers.
Yeah.
So hers is, I see that book being more as the learning to be a hero book. Which
yeah.
I would say that would be Nature Boy too, but I think Nature Boy is going to have something more
direct. This is going to be weirder, I think, because
well, yeah. there's also a difference between just learning your powers alone and learning under a mentor.
Yeah, they are two separate stories. I like the idea that she's a legacy character, even though it's the first, she's like the first
one that we have met.
That we know, like we don't know the old flame. So like, I like the idea that maybe her, like a part of her book is dealing with all of the stuff that came before that we didn't see. Like, you know, like people are coming back now that they know the flame is, you know, was out of commission and there's a new flame. So like people who were hiding are now back. And like, you know, people that he just like, you know, they would show up and he would beat them back and they would leave. They're now like, hey, free reign. And this one doesn't know her powers that well. So we can like,
yep,
just run shit.
Can we put her in Texas somewhere?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that fits. Yeah,
she's Latinx, so like,
yeah.
Yeah. I live in Texas, can confirm, thing that happens.
Texas doesn't get a lot of superhero action all that time, and like...
No. I think San Antonio got like 6 issues of a Spider-Man spinoff. Like one of the Spider-Man clones in like the mid-2010s like went to San Antonio. That's it.
Yeah, like there's just Dallas sitting there.
Yeah.
It big. I don't
know. Dusk Harbor. That's the name of Moon Girl's
Dusk
town.
Dusk Harbor. That's
it. It just clicked. I'm like, why not have it in Houston? So there's like a port city. But we have one of those. Yeah, Dallas. The city of the future, according to 1981.
I mean, it has that giant big ball thing.
And no, it looks great. It's wonderful.
Not great on the inside, as much I've heard.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I live in Austin. Yeah. So I live in the... In the blue dot, in the big red ocean.
Yep.
So she's a Texas-based hero trying to figure out her powers while learning from an old mentor. So that's kind of the theme of her book.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the idea that if she is like a legacy character dealing with legacy things that are new to us and to her, that like part of her story and struggle can be like, I want to do my own. Like, I don't want to deal with all your old bullshit. I want to like... Mm-hmm. Forge ahead on like my own thing.
Yeah.
And like I think whenever she gets like the precious few times in like the early series where like there's a new bad guy that she, you know, can fight, or there's like just regular stuff to deal
like
with.
Crooks.
That, yeah, like that aren't like, you know, old enemies or whatever, that she's always like so stoked about that. Like, oh yeah, new villain that you don't know anything about. I can't wait to beat this guy up.
Suck it, nerd.
Yeah, like this is gonna be, I'm gonna beat this one. They're gonna be afraid of me now.
Cool. So next we have Dollman,
who get little and has a golden retriever. Was it a golden
German
retriever?
Shepherd.
German Shepherd, even better.
He already has a villain that I really want to explore, which was Chessman.
Is Chessman even smaller than Dollman?
No, Chessman, I think, is also very small, but he shrinks other people and turns them into chess pieces.
That seems a little too literal I love a chess motif. You will never hear me turn down a chess motif. So if we've got a villain with a chess motif, I'm on board. I feel like maybe we need to update his MO from just like, I make him little and then I put him on a board, and if they don't walk in the patterns I tell them to, I guess I squish them or something. Like, what's your end game? I made everybody little, and I put them on a chess board, and now I play chess with them? Like, yeah,
listen,
like, where does that
the
go?
The 1950s didn't really have to worry about all these things.
They had their their foresight was so small. They were so nearsighted. They were like, yeah. I didn't mean it. He's a chess man, makes people chess pieces. And they're like, okay. And it's like, that's it. And everyone's like, perfect. Put it in the comic book.
Okay. I'm chill with us using him. That's fine. Just what are we going to do with him, Alan?
Because Chessman's whole deal is, like, he gets to 6 inches tall.
Well, the other thing that he, like, he is a, like, renowned scientist. So okay. Maybe he deals with, like, villains that are more science-themed. Since, like, mad science is probably a thing in this world. Like,
oh, absolutely,
a lot of what he deals with are mad scientists and trying to, you know, keep science good.
Okay.
I like that a lot, actually, because, like, I imagine him using his powers less as, like, an Ant-Man, where he shrinks down and somehow has insane strength.
He's okay, let me explain. I guess you don't understand the science behind it, Matt, is all his molecules get closer together, but he still has the same amount of them, and so he's stronger that way.
But he can still breathe oxygen, because,
that's science. That's so, in the Bible. That's how Bible tells science. Okay. You get little, still strong.
Okay.
Well, and so can he. He retains his full... Dollman retains his full strength.
Yeah, he's as strong as a regular man, but he's just little, right? He's not like... There's no weird inverse super strength from being little. He's just like...
He also has a dog named Elmo and a bald eagle that he uses to fly.
Yeah, his bald eagle's name is Sam. We talked about it. Or is that Yankee Eagle? Did Yankee Eagle have a pet bald eagle also?
I think he did, because there's no name for this bald eagle.
They can't all be bald eagles. He's got to have a golden eagle. They're way bigger than bald eagles. And that's true. Funnier if his eagle is really big, because he needs it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I was saying before I got lectured on science.
Yeah, Matt, if only you knew how science worked, we wouldn't be in this predicament.
It sucks that I don't know anything about science at all.
I mean, I have a degree in science, but I don't use it.
Me too, technically.
Film science?
It is technically a bachelor's of science.
Okay. So you have a BS, huh?
I've got a BS in BS, yeah, for sure.
So what if he uses his shrinking less as, like, this is how I'm going to do combat, although he can probably do that too. But what if it's more like, this is how I infiltrate? Nobody looks for someone who's the size of an action figure.
Right. But also, I like the idea that there might be some other reason that he shrinks to this weird proportion. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what city we're going to base him in, but what if there's just, like, a secret city of borrowers that are six inches tall that are just somewhere.
Yeah, our version of the Micronauts or whatever.
Yeah, like they're not little, but, like, they, you know, they're smaller, so they take up less space.
Okay, so I had a thought, and Portland.
Okay.
Okay.
The reason I say that is, like, keep Portland weird. Like, Portland's just kind of an odd place.
To keep Austin weird, and Portland took that, but we'll allow
Portland's kind of an odd place.
Uh-huh.
So I think it would be interesting if, like, that's where a lot of mad scientists went to the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, that's where Tannis is, so, like, obviously they all get drawn there.
Obviously. they want to go and, like, harness all this weird eldritch energy and get freaky up in the pines. And
oh, God, you know there's actually someone who did that, like... In this world, there's a mad scientist who went there because, like, oh, Tannis, gotta go find Tannis.
So there's podcasts in this 1950s? Is that what we're... Or I guess it'd just be a radio serial, right?
Yes, it's a radio serial.
Little column A, little column B.
There's also rabbits.
Yeah. Well, you gotta. It's like the fourth or fifth game, not the ninth game, like in the show Rabbits, which we are all very familiar with.
So bad.
It's the best one. It's still the best one.
So Dollman and his dog Elmo are based out of Portland. Should we
rename the cities? Because we have Dusk Harbor. I feel like that's extremely Boston.
Yes, but maybe next year.
Okay, next year we'll do some world building.
Because we're already at 42 minutes and we've done four.
Half of them.
Yeah.
No, we've done more than half. We did.
Oh, that's true. We only have two. We only have, like,
two more. We have Miss Fury and Nature Boy.
Oh, someone's taking notes. Who's actually taking notes on this?
I am.
Oh, okay, cool. I just had the list open. I didn't know if I scrolled down, there's notes and shit.
Good job, Matt.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we'll do the world building. Next year we already got something on the docket.
Miss Fury, we already kind of know what she's about. She's a super spy.
Wonderful. And my girlfriend now. She's amazing.
We had that whole thing where the person who, like, the rightful owner of the skin was coming after her.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think that's got to be at least her first arc, right? It's just like the...
Because then that shaman can join the conclave.
Yeah, and then, you know, we got a second wave of people, you know, that we can start
with him. The new conclave.
Yeah.
Conclave 2. We'll need to come to the name for him.
We do. What about, I'm just spitballing here, Black Panther?
There's a very large mouse knocking at your door with a billy club.
Oh,
jeez.
Oh, no, he's here. I'm going to kick your ass.
What happened? Did you use one of my properties?
Heard you talking shit about Black Panther, huh?
Fuck you!
I'll beat you with a keyblade.
No, don't, Mickey. Be King Mickey, the good one.
The good one. What about just Shaman? I mean, now, a lot of these things like are very.
I don't want to say that's like a racist thing to call him, but it's definitely like on the path there, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Like, I also would not name a Native American character Shaman.
Yeah. Fair.
You know? Okay, so I feel like this is a thing we also figure out next year when we have time to do some Googles in between.
Yeah, I'm checking her public domain page right now and seeing if they put a name on this.
It was the albino guy. Yeah.
Yeah, Albino Joe. That's bad. Killer Dawson is bad.
Does Killer Dawson at least kill people?
He is an escaped murderer, so yes.
Well, see, then it's descriptive, so that's at least a little better. Albino Joe, I don't think is inherently negative, right? Like, it is not a negative thing to be albino. It is just like the way they used it is like
it's very
insensitive. Like, yeah, because I think if like, because Joe was her like not like mentor, but like kind of her Alfred, right? In a way.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was like, hey, I know about the stuff that I guess your dad stole. I like that character still existing. Just, you know, not make him a caricature. Kind of fix some of that stuff.
Oh,
right. Just Joe something.
Yeah, he's just Joe. He just is also albino because, like, that happens to people. You know?
Joe Cool.
That is a beagle with sunglasses.
Hold on.
I don't know who owns the rights to that. I don't think it's Mickey Mouse, but someone will come knocking.
Charles Schultz's ghost.
What, Matt? What are you groaning about over there?
Never mind. It's not quite as... Okay, so there's...
Just because Miss Fury has a bunch cool in the thing doesn't mean we can't make it cool.
So Miss Fury has a bunch of interesting characters that are kind of tied to her.
Okay.
General Bruno Belt, Baroness Erica von Kampf, Miguel Rico, someone named Whiffy.
Okay.
At one point, though,
they have a good nose.
She was adopting a kid named Darren Drake, who was the son of a villain and her ex-fiance.
Ooh, okay.
So there's another character who is a police detective named Detective Carey, who sought to find her true identity. And eventually becomes a love interest. He's a police detective. What if that's our guy? Because all we have is his last name.
Okay, yeah. If that's the guy who is the rightful owner of the...
Yeah.
Was it a panther or was it a black jaguar?
It was a jaguar. I'll check.
Panther. Yeah. African panther.
Okay. Can we change that to be like a different big cat?
Yeah.
Because I feel like...
I like it being a jaguar. Like, just our jaguars, yellow and black spots.
Aren't they mostly jungle, though? Aren't they jungle cats?
Yeah, we would be looking probably closer to a lion if we were going to change it to an African.
Look, have you seen black lions? They are fucking amazing.
Well, black lion, then. That's true. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So let's do that. He's the rightful, like, heir to it. I like the idea then that there is this like sort of like they're both trying to figure out who the other one is, but you don't know that because like every time we show Detective Carrie, he's like got to figure out who, you know, Miss Fury is. And then every time we show Miss Fury, she's like, I got to find out who this guy dogging me is, who's like after the this heirloom. And they, you know, meet and it's like, oh, you're that, we're each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, have it back because I don't want it. Like, it was stolen. So, yeah, absolutely.
And it's also like a bad luck engine, which is very good.
Yeah. Yes, I forgot about that. Did she? And she also has like, I don't want to say Hulk powers, but she does get like furious and like nigh unstoppable when she's mad.
I think probably what it is she did wear it at least once. So right. I think it probably like was just like, well, you're not who I belong to, but you're not evil.
You
so
could be worse.
Have some free powers, I guess, especially if you give me back.
Here's a free power. It is
you're not unstoppable when you're raging.
There is a big drawback is that you will just be completely. You will only see red and rage for a while, but you'll get strong and stuff. So that'll be nice for you.
But I also feel like she's the one who's most likely to have like the mental, like the fortitude to be just like, yeah, I got this though. I can keep myself under wraps until
right.
I need it.
Like, oh yeah. Like she's incredibly angry, but still talking calmly. She's just talking through her teeth when she says stuff to you when she's raging.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like her a lot.
All right.
So finally, Nature Boy.
Nature Boy, the last demigod.
Okay, so here's my, like, not, like, pitch for Nature Boy, but my, like...
pitch.
What I'm thinking. Here's my, like, not blue sky Imagineering, but here's the genre as applied to one specific superhero. You know how Doctor Strange always has, like, the real weird shit book?
Yes. Yeah.
I think Nature Boy should be that.
Okay.
I'm down for that.
Because he's got elements from all the gods of the Roman pantheon. There's also a lot of weird shit going on in the Roman, in, you know, Roman myths. A lot of just reappropriated Greek myths, but there's also, you know, some other ones that went the, well, they didn't go the other way, but they, you know, they're like, hey, there's new ones. And we're like, what if we pretend they were Greek, but they weren't, like Cupid, mm-hmm. like Eros and Psyche. That's actually Cupid and Psyche, and we were like, we're taking that one for the Greek mythology universe because turnabout is fair play.
Fair.
But like, there's like a lot of weird shit like that. So like, what if we have his book be like that kind of thing?
Okay. So just real weird.
Just get really weird with it. Have all like, you know, like the magic, and a lot of it is like. I think a lot of the hook of it would be that like he doesn't know why anything is happening because he's a vessel for the gods. So they're like, you know, Aphrodite shows up and be like, hey, go here and do this thing. And he's like, well, okay, I guess, because like I'm indebted to you. So I'll go do that. And he gets there and it's, you know, people are falling in love with mirrors or some shit, you know, mm-hmm. like just like real weird stuff.
I also think this might be the best place to really include Zero, Ghost Detective.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Like
he's also like a second wave, right? Yeah,
we wanted him to be a resource, but also like introduce him more here, and then second wave, he gets his own book.
Right. Yeah, him and Detective Carrie, and
yeah,
you know, probably others. We'll figure out some others by then. Ibis, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good. Does he have a straight villain, or is it just kind of monster of the week?
I mean, there's got to be something. I almost said there's got to be something connecting everything, but what if there isn't?
Interesting. So it's just
like, that's like weirder, right? If these things are just like all disconnected, it's just like, you just have to deal with it. And there's no explanation for why all of these things are happening.
Yeah.
I like that.
I feel like that's the kind of thing that, like, 30 years down the run of this comic, though, is when some writers just goes like, well, I have the perfect idea to fix
this. In issue 48, this man said something, and that's actually Hades, the Greek god, who's come to reclaim stuff from the Romans.
Waha! Yeah. No. No, you're not allowed to, future writers of our awesome comic line.
Yeah, I mean, this is only if we sell the rights to Disney.
Yeah, if we sell the rights for six digits or more, can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
I have a number for sure. I haven't put pen to paper on this yet. If you want it for a cool $3 million, so we each get $1 million, and then also Disney, you pay the taxes on that, yours.
Absolutely.
Easy. Not even I won't even blink at it.
Yeah, that's just an immediate sign. Okay, I like that. Nothing is connected.
Because then it's you know, like, there can be this part, like, you know, in two or three arcs where he's like, what's the common thread? Why do the gods keep having me go after these things? And at the end of that arc, you know, Minerva's just there and she's like, there isn't a common thread. Like, that's life. You know, sometimes things aren't connected. Sometimes things just keep happening.
And things are weird.
Yeah. But then he also is the one who does, like, explicitly know that the world is different. Maybe that's a little bit of it too, then, is like, some of these are after effects of,
aftershocks of an earthquake.
Yeah. And so, and because you're the only one who knows about it, the gods know about it, they're like, all right, well,
deal with it.
Get going. You gotta, this is your job now.
You're the one who is aware of this. Get to work.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, actually. That's very good. Like, if it's going to be connected at all, having it be, like, reality leaks, almost, is a very good...
It's just, like, because of whatever, you know... Maybe it's a side effect of the fact that there's only 9 left. Like, we're counting down so close that, like, previous iteration wishes are starting to, like, leak through and do weird stuff.
We do the weird stuff.
Good. Very nice.
Since I've listened to that.
So that's it. That's the entirety of the conclave.
Well, hold on. Does Atlas get a book?
No. Atlas might get a graphic novel at some point, but I don't think Atlas gets one. Because, like,
Does he get the holiday, like, one-off super book thing?
Yeah, because, like, his would be really weird from, you know, his thousands of year life and being the guy who, like, has done a bunch of stuff and also at one point did make a wish.
Fair.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Then,
I also had that thought about Undersea, but I think that would be a good one to do second wave.
Yeah, probably. The one with TNT Todd and Davy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't that spawn out of Conclave Volume 1?
Yeah. Yeah, we did talk. Okay, so do we need to... I mean, just Undersea. We already know what it is.
Yeah, we know what it is.
Yeah, there's a whole long acronym. Alan, why don't you tell us the acronym?
United Nations Department of Experiment and Research Systems established at Atlantis.
It's, like, pretty easy. Everyone remembered that from last year. It's, like, pretty
super easy.
Pretty easy mnemonic device there.
So it's TNT Todd and Davy Jones and their team.
And their team.
Exploring previous realities.
Didn't we say that they were the ones who were going after, like, the stuff that reality was altered?
Yes, but we had left it so the entire Conclave team knows about it in case we need to use it.
Okay.
Like they are able to pick at the edges of reality if they need to.
Right, but I'm saying, like, there wasn't that book specifically about that stuff.
Yeah, them trying to find what changed.
Yeah, so does that mean that, like, what about Nature Boys? Like, is that too much overlap then?
I don't think so, because I think what Undersea is doing is not really about Yankee Eagle. Like, they're not dealing with aftershocks. They're going, well, we remember this, or we vaguely remember this. What else has changed? So they're looking for previous changes to reality.
So they're like, I think this book is half Elseworlds what if kind of stuff, where we can explore previous worlds. But also, what was that X-Men group that jumped through Marvel worlds?
Exiles.
The Extreme X-Men.
No, Exiles. It was Exiles.
Okay.
Extreme X-Men were just the Exiles under a different name because Exiles hadn't sold well for, like, 4 iterations.
Yeah, Exiles was that team that was just, like, they're the ones who found all the versions where Reed Richards was effective because he was an asshole.
Yeah.
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 I feel like this is the book that I would most want Jonathan Hickman to write.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go nuts with it, my dude.
Because that guy rules. You ever read his S.H.I.E.L.D. book?
No.
He wrote a book about the history of S.H.I.E.L.D. where, like, Leonardo da Vinci and like, Isaac Newton fought over, like, the Earth, and Nikola Tesla was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was dope. It was about, like, Howard Stark and some other, like, dad of the Marvel Universe. It's the best. It was, art was by Dustin Weaver. It looked gorgeous.
That's weird.
Highly recommended.
Okay, so, yeah, that sounds like Underseas, like, What Ifs and Exiles kind of thing.
Yeah, yep. And then also, like, figuring out the, like, the things about what changed, not, like, dealing with these weird, like, side effects that aren't necessarily about past iterations of the world, but are just about, like, when you do this thing happens sometimes, and that's what Nature Boy deals with. But they deal with the, like, what was before.
Yeah,
I like that.
Exactly.
And the only other character we have on here was Adam Man, but I feel like that he's also a Wave 2 guy. So
he's a Wave 2.
He might pop up in some of these as just like a helper, but yeah, Wave 2.
Well, because he doesn't have his powers yet, because we decided his powers kind of came like accidentally, and he's like a college kid. So like,
yeah,
I feel like that is a Wave 2 kind of thing to deal with.
Cool. So what else do we need to do with this then? Alan, you got anything else?
I think that's a wrap for year three of Ongoing Superheroes. And I think next year we can tackle Conclave Volume 2.
Volume 2 and do some world building and like flesh this stuff out. Dang, this is good. How have we been doing this for 3 years? Holy jeepers.
I don't know. That's kind of crazy.
Oh, man. Next month is mine. Pulp Space Opera.
Yep.
Horse with a space helmet.
That's right after. That's where we cut it off. Is right before we get to the horse with a space helmet.
And that's going to be our first merch.
Oh yeah.
Probably.
God, I hope so. We're gonna have to go and listen to all those. But thankfully, there's only two of those. There's only two of them. We didn't do a backdoor pilot to that one.
No. But I mean, still, it's not like it's a bad time going back and listening to those. So.
No, it's true. Those are the ones where we have historically been very sick boys. So
I think in the first one,
Alan did almost die.
Alan literally almost died on the podcast. So,
oh, that's right. Cause I had to get rushed to the hospital.
Yeah. He did go to the hospital immediately after we finished recording. So
I managed to hold it together. Until we finished recording.
We appreciate that. But two, it did lead to the rule of you're not allowed to get sick on recordings.
You can't do that anymore.
All right.
Yeah, dope.
Yeah. Well, I guess until next month, I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I've been Alan.
That's definitely all we
just
do.
Just do the damn thing. Just
and you've been rebooted.
3 years in and Jake's finally just dying.
It's only because it's his. I'll put up a fight next month.
You can find us on Twitter at RebootCast or email us hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. Alan Sells can be found at Alan_Sells on Twitter. Matt Hoadley can be found at Matt Hoadley, and Jake Mason can be found at JJ_Mason.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.